Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
G'day, Dan Illich here. Just popping in to say thanks to our $10 a month Patreon subscribers, including Michael Lines and an old friend of Lewis and mine, Jess Cornelius. Thank you so much for supporting this podcast. If you enjoy what you hear, you can go to irrationalfear.com/Patreon. Or rather, patreon.com/irrationalfear and chip in to support the show. Now, if you follow me on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, you would know that I'm the showrunner of this brand new ABC show called At Home Alone Together, hosted by Ray Martin. So I am a little bit slammed right now. So while it may be impossible to make a brand new Irrational Fear, I'm going to play you some of our absolute favorites. These are great shows, and some of them are our live shows. First up, from May last year at the Climate Reality Conference at the Brisbane Powerhouse. It was sold out, packed out, people were standing in the aisles, and we had an incredible guest list, as you're about to hear. Now, what you should know about this show is that it is a show about climate change on stage in Queensland that is sponsored by the Queensland government. And someone came backstage and told me 10 minutes before the show was about to start that we couldn't say one word. And I went out, and before the show started, I went to the audience and I said, "So someone came backstage and told me that we are not allowed to say one particular word on this stage." And then 400 people yelled back at me, "Adani!" And I said, "If you have any idea about what that word is, Adani, there'll be a prize for you, Adani, at the end of the show, Adani." It was fantastic. So if you think we are avoiding saying the word Adani on this show, that's the reason why. I hope you enjoy it. It's one of my favorite shows. I've listened to this show about 5 or 6 times and I absolutely love it. We've got some great stand-ups and a great guest. A guest who's been on the show a couple of times lately because of coronavirus. So without any further ado, enjoy the show.
Irrational Fear.
If you can't offer the jobs to Australians, leave the coal in the ground.
A serious note before we start the show. Irrational Fear was built as a vehicle to make fun of the media's propensity to make us scared of every little thing. Ironically, we build it as the show that tells you what you should be scared of. And if this week is anything to go by, what you should be scared of is being a journalist that is critical of the Australian government. Which is why I'd like to say at the top of this podcast that the federal government's climate change policy is one of the best in the world. If not the best, probably even the betterestest in the world. And if you're from the AFP and you're listening to this podcast, you do a stand-up job. Good on you. You know, we understand that sometimes that you have to do what the Minister from Home Affairs tells you what to do. You know, you have to enforce laws that are only 3 months old. Who cares? Good on you. You're giving it a go. So, dear AFP investigators who are downloading and listening to this right now, you may as well stop listening to the podcast right now. because there's nothing in the next 80 minutes that will be critical of the Australian government. In fact, here's some music to help you transition your podcast app to the off position. Okay, I think now that they're gone, I think it's safe to say the climate solutions package is absolutely fucked and we're all going to die.
A rational fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra fair gum, and Section 40. A rational fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Tonight, climate change deniers admit they're only in it for a spot of fun and the money. And we investigate how many keep cups you need to keep before the climate crisis is over. And after the AFP raided homes and offices of journalists reporting on government overreach, the media gets to ask only one question, and that is ScoMo's favourite question. How good is Australia? This is a rational fear! Excellent, hi. My name's Dan Illich and this is Irrational Fear, live from the Brisbane Powerhouse at the inaugural Queensland Climate Week. Yes! Enjoy it. I hope you learn lots of things because if the climate crisis continues, it could be the last ever Climate Week. It is great. As I like to say here in the north, summer is coming. So let's meet our fearmongers for tonight. Our first fearmonger is here to convince you that, and I quote, it's all over, you should give up, there's no point in going on. Oh, I'm sorry, that's what the ABC head of entertainment said when she cancelled Tonightly with a toast, Tom Ballard.
Hi, everybody. Hello.
Tom, why do you want to start the show off in such a pessimistic way?
Because we're all doomed, Dad. It's great to be here. Happy Climate Week, everybody.
Our next fearmonger is the head of School of Public Health and Social Work at QUT and is here to tell us why climate change is actually good for your health. Oh, sorry, by good, I actually mean bad. It's Professor Hilary Bambrick. Hilary, what exercise would you recommend for the apocalypse?
Well, it's going to be way too hot to run, so you're going to have to crawl to the nearest emergency exits, which are located here, here, and here.
Excellent.
And deploy the escape slides.
And now, thanks to climate change, insects are on their way out, but our next fearmonger plans to fight for their six-legged lives. It's Steph Tisdale. You!
G'day.
Steph, tell us, why should we care about whether or not insects make it in the apocalypse?
Because there's that Facebook, it was trending on Facebook, you know, that spider? Has anybody seen that little, it's got that little kid's voice and it was trending? I fell in love with that little cartoon. That's the only reason why.
I didn't know we have to do intense research for today.
Man. But there are some species we'd love to see the back of. In fact, we hope go extinct. None more so than the endangered foodie of Instagram, something Mel Buttle knows too much about. Mel Buttle!
You! Hello, hi.
Mel, how will foodies have to adapt to the climate crisis?
It's going to be very hard to Instagram in the bunker, isn't it?
And our final fearmonger is a member of the ABC elite. He has a face that says he has all the answers, but what does his mouth say? It's Triple J's Lewis Hobber.
Ah, hello. How you doing?
What does your mouth say?
Well, my mouth says that I'm quite offended that while the AFP were raiding the ABC, they did not come to Triple J.
Well, we don't have any secrets.
What have you got? What has Triple J got?
I got no...
You got the hottest 100
stuff.
Planned out for the
I
next
got
3 years.
Stuff. I know when the next Flume single's probably going to...
They don't tell us. I don't know anything.
This is a rational fear, already exceeding maximum emissions.
You! Fuck!
That was our one and only pyrotechnic. Because that's all our climate credit could afford. This is like the new reality. For New Year's Eve, it's just going to be people hanging around like the Brisbane foreshore waiting for an ibis to explode. That's what people are going to be waiting to know in the future.
Yeah, but luckily there's lots of plastic in the tummy, so it's good. From a distance, might look like glitter.
Happy Climate Week, everybody.
Now, there's a couple other people we haven't introduced yet. We're going to introduce them right now. I don't know how we got them. They are some of the best musicians, comedy musicians in Australia. They performed on ABC's Tonight Lee, RIP. In fact, most of us performed at ABC's Tonight Lee. I was the boss of it for a little bit. It was very good. You should have watched it. In fact, Bridie and Wyatt, these guy, next folks I'm about to bring out, they won an ARIA for Best Comedy Release last year thanks to their work on Tonight Lee. It was the only award that Tonight Lee won. So, are you ready? Bridie and Wyatt, come on. Where are you guys? Come on stage. Here they are.
This is amazing.
Everybody, how are you? I love that Dan said best musicians in Australia, best comedy musicians.
It's an important caveat.
It is very important. Oh, it's so lovely to be here. That was a really lovely intro. I'm actually super embarrassed that you brought up the aria.
Oh, the aria.
Oh, my God. Oh. We don't like to mention it.
We were trying to bring it up, but they confiscated at the airport. Oh.
No, like we don't really talk about the aria that we won quite recently very much. We're pretty humble folk, but...
Our lives have changed since we won it, though. Like, before we won it, we were employed.
Yes. And now that we have won an ARIA, we are not.
Yes. Oh, boy, though. It's great.
But we have to smelt it and sell it.
Yeah.
Girls got to eat, you know. Mm-hmm. But, no, life has changed. Oh, look, Dan, you've said it now. You've mentioned the ARIA.
Award winners, Bridie and Wyatt.
I guess we'll sing the song that won us an ARIA.
Yeah. And I know it's Climate Week, but this is a political song. It's not about climate change, though, but it is about an issue that keeps coming up in the news.
Yeah, it just comes up time and time again. So we'll sing that song. Hey, girls, you know that moment?
Yeah, you do.
When your heart skips a beat and you feel weak at the knees.
Oh, so nervous.
Well, it could happen at any time. It could happen at any place. And ladies, it could happen with anyone. Well, it could be the guy from the cafe, the one with the look in his eye.
I got my eye on
it
you.
It could be the man from the bus stop. Yeah, he smiles every time you walk by.
Catch a ride with
it
me.
It could be the boss from your office. He always says you're the best. Well, it could be literally anyone.
Anyone can be a sex pest.
Sex pest. Sex pest.
Don't have to be famous to be well dressed to be a
sex pest.
Well, it could be the guy from your sports team, or it could be the guy at the bank. Well, it could be the guy at the hot dog stand, or it could be that guy Frank. Well, it could be the guy that you went met one time. Well, it could be Keira Knightley.
That's right.
It could be a woman. But statistically, Italian likely.
It's not just the guy in the fancy bar.
No, it's not just that big Hollywood star.
No, it's not just the guy in the park in the dark.
No, that's just Mark. He likes dark parks. And let me break it down now. Here we go. S-E-X-P-E-S-T. Oh, well, it should be as easy as 1, 2, 3 to demonstrate basic decency. So listen up, people, and learn from me. Boys, don't hang out if you got your wang out. But please don't rock out if you got your cock out. We won't get along if you whip out your schlong. Unless, of course, it is consensual.
Yeah, a consensual schlong.
A consensual schlong song.
A consensual schlong
song. Sing along. Schlongs and our consent make you a sex pest. Yes, they do.
Woo!
All right, that's kind of fun to say, so let's give it a go. You repeat after me. Here we go.
A consensual schlong.
A consensual schlong song.
A consensual schlong song.
A consensual schlong song. Sing along.
A consensual schlong song. Sing along.
Nailed it. Ha, 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 ha. Sex pest.
Ha, 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 ha. Sex pest.
Well, it makes it feel stressful. Press when you act like a ha. Sex pest. So remember, girls, it's not just famous people. The statistics show everyday people are sex pest too. So be careful out there. But more importantly, boys, don't be a sex pest.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Are you okay?
I'm a bit winded. But it's kind of like it got a good message to it.
Yeah,
in that song.
That's right. Anyone could be a sex pest.
No, like dream and you can achieve, you know? Oh, no, it's not aspirational.
Not aspirationally, like a warning.
Yeah.
Like anyone. Not like anyone can be.
No.
Oh, God.
But from the song that got us awarded, the song that got us in a lot of trouble.
Yes. We nearly got fired for this song,
yeah,
which is weird because this next song was actually one of the more wholesome songs that Wyatt and I have written.
Yes.
We wrote a song last August when Scott Morrison became the Prime Minister because we thought we should do like a little fun introduce our new Prime Minister to the country song. And we actually wrote
it. Get to know the fun guy. So
yeah,
fun.
Exactly. We wrote
it. He's like a daggy dad.
He is a daggy dad. He loves the football. He's so daggy.
Yeah.
Like when he was Minister for Immigration, the Human Rights Commission, like, and the Commission for Human Rights was like, oh, we condemn you. Such a daggy dad. Real cute.
Oh.
Real cute.
Wacky. Such a fun dad.
When the United Nations condemns you, like, ah, adorable. That was in 2014. Fun times. Loved it. So we wrote a song about all that fun stuff so we could get to know Scotty a bit better. And we wrote it in the song of Christian pop rock, in the style of Christian pop rock. Because if you didn't know, Scott Morrison is really into Jesus. That's great. He's super into his evangelical faith and we're like, yeah, let's get on board. Jesus made the animals like kangaroos and he also said to lock the kids up on Nauru.
I am Jesus' son.
And I'm Jesus' daughter and there's nothing more Christian than closing the border. We love Jesus, Jesus, but not refugees. If you want to win votes, then you got to stop votes to do what pleases. Jesus, deny them all visas, and you can't get more Christian than that. Suffer little children who come unto me. The government takes the doctrine literally. ScoMo is under the spell of Jesus' charm, and kids are under safety watch for self-harm.
We love Jesus, Jesus, but not refugees.
If Jesus was a refugee, we'd say, fuck off, we're full to do what pleases.
Jesus, deny them all visas, and you can't get more Christian than that. No, you can't get more Christian
than fishes and loaves and shipping people off to Madison Groves.
No, you can't get more Christian
than not showing contrition when you were found wanting by the Human Rights Commission.
We love Jesus.
If you love Jesus, Scott Morrison, clap your hands.
Jesus, but not refugees.
Don't cross our borders. Even if you walk on water.
Jesus, but not refugees.
Yeah, you gotta love thy neighbor. But not if they vote Labour.
Jesus, but not refugees.
Or if they're foreign or gay.
Jesus,
and you can't get more Christian than that.
And once we did that song, everyone loved it in the Murdoch press, didn't they?
Thank you very much.
I love it. Great.
Oh, my God. Oh,
fantastic.
Yeah.
You guys have really covered all the big topics, refugees, the Me Too movement.
Yep.
So this is Climate Week. So take it away with your climate song. So,
sorry, Dan.
What's that?
We were just told to do it.
One second. Sorry.
Damn, we
don't have a climate.
We're doing climate. This is Climate Week, so we should do a climate song.
Yeah.
Hang on a sec, band meeting.
You're speaking into the microphone, so they actually.
Oh, yeah.
All
right.
Okay. We.
These guys are actually going to make up a climate song for us here tonight. So this is great. So do you guys want to take some suggestions?
We'd love that, and then we'd like to take an hour.
Yeah.
And then we'd like to come back.
Any. You can pick any word you want. From B to Z.
All right.
From B to Z. You can pick any word. Numerals, you can use numerals. Symbols, just between B to C.
Carmichael.
Wow. Well, that fits these rules. So write it down. Guys, what's on
Reef?
Yeah, Reef, great. What's something that you're actually honestly really scared about?
Banani, my favourite fruit.
Yeah. But, like, obviously... Yeah, good.
Pakistani, a delicious cuisine, one of my favorites.
But, like, obviously, you know, water's rising. What else? What's some things we're worried about?
Extinction.
Heat death of the universe.
I am sensing a major key for this song. This can be cheery.
Climate refugees. That's good. Mass
dream
migration.
World.
This is a very cheery topic we've picked today.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many laughs to be had.
Right. We are an... Coal.
That's fine.
Coal, I love it. Rhymes with so many things. Thank you.
It's so great to watch the creative process.
Dengue fever.
Is that a thing? Like, is the planning on? I'm scared.
Wait, can you put in Bieber fever as well?
Bieber fever.
Bieber fever. I think I lived with a flatmate once who was really into dengues.
Your grandkids. What's your name? Your specific grandkids. Okay.
Oh, make it personal. That won't get sad at all.
Great. Perfect.
Okay. I think we got it.
We'll be back in an hour with the most happy song you've ever heard. All right. See
you soon.
Thank
you
very much. Oh, yeah.
Stuck in my head.
All right, great, oh, fantastic. So all right, folks, let's get...
Brisbane hasn't had two ARIA winners in the same room since one of the Veronicas broke up with Ruby Rose and came home. What an honour.
It's huge.
All right, let's get into some fearsome fears. Now, when we're talking about climate change, language is really important. It's really important to help communicate about extremely complex things like climate change. Teenage activist icon Greta Thunberg... Now, last week, I think it was, or maybe a couple of weeks ago, she implored us all to stop using the phrase climate change and really encourage us to use climate crisis. But this week, the fossil fuel industry is also on the rebrand too. In the USA, the Department of Energy is leading the way to rebrand liquid natural gas to freedom gas. Now, these are actual words from the US Undersecretary of Energy.
Increasing export capacity from the Freeport LNG project is critical to spreading freedom gas throughout the world.
I guess anything to make it more attractive to the end user. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it wasn't worth it. All right. You're right. Let's move on quickly. And then, all right, so that, in using that context, very funny stuff. And then it came back again in the same press release from this guy.
I am pleased that the Department of Energy is doing what it can to promote an efficient regulatory system that allows for molecules of US freedom to be exported to the world.
So amazing.
That's so good. Molecules of US freedom just used to be bullets. I feel like that was like God. Fuck yeah.
Now, what's funny is like Steve Weinberg is the name of that guy who read that, whose quote that was. But why doesn't he use his own powers for rebranding his own portfolio? In case you missed it, this is his full title, Assistant Secretary of Fossil Energy. It doesn't really scream innovation. It kind of sounds like something like an intern at where Fred Flintstone works. thank you for that laugh, for that cutting-edge 60s reference. Really appreciate that. Really appreciate that.
First the fart joke, now this.
Strap in! All right, fearmongers, tell me, is there a better way to rebrand LNG? Tom?
Well, first I'd like to apologise. I let off some freedom gas in the dressing room before. and you guys probably still experience that. I think freedom gas isn't bad. If you really want to appeal to like your right-wing Christian crazies, you want to go for like Jesus gas, aspiration gas, not poofter gas. Fair dinkum gas is probably coming down the pipeline from Scobo. I reckon we're going to hear that pretty soon.
I think we can hit the niche market of voluntourism. You know the dickheads who go, I'm going to take a year off before I go to uni and build schools. We could call it, no, it's freedom gas again, isn't it? call it woke gas.
Woke gas, yeah. I work at the ABC.
I'm interested. I hear that. Yeah. Take my money.
I mean, what other fossil fuels should be rebranded this way, do you think, Mel?
What's a fossil fuel?
We should clarify, no. Mel doesn't know what climate change is.
No.
We were discussing this backstage. And
just because I'm from Queensland and... The origin was on last night. Doesn't mean all I fucking know that the world's ending.
Like, Origin's not an energy company. It's a fucking game.
No, I didn't think the world was going to end in halftime last night, but the boys turned it around. But
I'm glad we're all going to die with this kind of shit.
What about you, Hillary? Do you think this makes LNG sexier? Like, would mum and dads, you know, pick LNG over other fossil fuels to energise their home?
Yeah, look, I don't think there's anything particularly sexy about freedom gas. To me, it sounds like the joy of a newly single person who gets to fart in the bed. But why would you want to make it sexy? It's already called liquid natural gas. Like, they're hot words.
Oh, you're right.
It's all just leave gas off. Just like, are you going to get some more liquid natural? Yeah, I'm going to get some fucking... Liquid natural, baby.
It's already all natural. I feel like I could pick it up at a farmer's market. I'm in.
It is artisanal. Yeah.
It sounds like something that should be at the top of an SBS promo for a documentary about to watch.
The following program may contain liquid natural gas.
Maybe instead of liquid, just organic. Yeah.
Organic.
If you want to turn people off like fossil, like, you know, they're made out of, you know, like dead animals. We should just call coal dead puppies. I think that would just like, my family's been mining dead puppies for generations.
For years.
That sounds awful. You should stop that.
There is no way that's stopping Gina Reinhart.
And guess what I did with their skins? I turned it into this coat. 101 kelpies.
And while we are still on words, once again we turn to Sweden. Recently the Swedes in social media have coined a new phrase. This is the movement here. It's called flig scam. Flig scam. Yeah, and it's often seen in conjunction with the hashtag #JagstannaParmaken. fearmongers, are you getting any ideas what this could be?
I'm pretty sure I built one of them once.
Yeah, is it a flick scam?
It was an Allen key. It was an absolute prick. I feel like I'm on a game show and those letters are going to re-scramble to make some goddamn sense.
I thought flick scam was that thing when you get a little cold drop of water go down your back, you go, oh, flick scam.
Well, that hashtag is obviously a really successful one that I'm sure we're all
familiar
with.
It's the kind of hashtag you get tattooed in Bali.
Oh, yeah. Old Jag.
Remember the hashtag, everybody? Jag Stanna for my hashtag.
Yeah, it's like a wedding between two people who you don't know that well. You're like, fuck. You know, when they fuse it together, it's like the Haydens and the Smiths. It's the Hay Smith wedding. It's the Jagstanapanakins and the Parmenakins. Use the hashtag. It's a lovely cake.
And it's not racist because they're white.
Exactly.
That's what
Thanks
I like about
for clearing
it.
That up, Tom. It actually is. It's like a flight shame. It's actually the feeling of being embarrassed or ashamed to take a plane because of the environmental impact. And the hashtag in Swedish means, the long hashtag means stay on the ground. According to Swedish Rail, a single flight between Sweden's two bigger cities, Stockholm and Gothenburg, generates as much CO2 as 40,000 train journeys. And thanks to Flig Scam, Swedish railway operators are experiencing a 20% rise in rail journeys. One owner of a rail holiday company said he'd never experienced demand like it before, working 16-hour days just to keep up. He said sometimes there were 30 people waiting on the phone just to talk to him about booking a rail holiday.
Yes.
Clap the shame. Clap the shame.
There's footage of him on the phones. I think he's going, book, 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 get the book, get the book. That's apparently that's.
And again, not racist.
Not racist.
Because it's a Muppet.
So just for perspective here, who took a flight to get to this show tonight?
Dad, not only did I fly, but my water flew. Thanks, San Pellegrino.
Do you think Flig Scam would work in Australia, Hillary?
You'd have to improve the trains a hell of a lot before that would happen. Yeah. We already have it. When anyone, if a friend of mine flies Jetstar, I'm like, you dog, you scum.
You should have gone Tiger.
No, I don't know. If people like you shouldn't fly on a plane, I'd be like, well, you want to drive me, mate? Like, Sydney's 18 hours. Let's go.
Let's
you know?
Crack it. What would it take to get Australians to feel shame about unnecessary flying, Steph?
It surprises me that Bintang shirts and fucking braids don't. So I think... Fuck, I think it's a hard slog.
I don't like being flight. I don't like being slut shamed, and I don't like being flight shamed. I'm a slut who is a gold frequent flyer, okay? And I am proud. Do not shame me, sir.
Can you be a slut though, Tom, if you're sort of just at home, just pottering around, just you? Like, is it like you identify as a slut?
Yes, I identify as a slut. And one day you'll see, and you'll all see.
Got we it. Could have Skyped you in for today. Finally, here is some good news. One of the upsides of rising sea levels is that some very critical internet infrastructure will be destroyed. Yes! Yes, according to a report from the University of Oregon, over 4,000 miles of fibre optics and 1,000 nodes will be underwater. I don't know what a node is. I assume it's like a fat controller of data.
What'd you call me?
Steady on.
And with the hardest cities in the US being hit will be New York, which of course is home to global finance, Seattle, home to Amazon and Microsoft data centers, and Miami, home to cocaine dealers who only accept Bitcoin. So very tricky, very tricky. And to fix it, Amazon does have a plan. They simply are planning to say, hey, Alexa, move to higher ground. So, fearmongers, what are you most looking forward to when the internet goes dark forever?
Oh, Dan, I'm so glad you asked. Not having to attend or listen to podcasts. Can't wait to not do this anymore. Finally, the hellish nightmare will be over.
I feel like Australia's preparing for this eventuality by installing the NBN. Yeah, you know, yeah. we're getting in the mindset
it's
of what it will be like.
Already a reality.
Yeah. It's a practice run.
We're ready.
What about you guys? What do you feel like? When the internet goes dark, what are you looking forward to most?
I think it'll be a nice time to make your own porn, Dan. And to reconnect with your local community like in the old days. Like, what have you got? I've got this. I put that on a CD for you.
You know, it'd be nice to bring porn back to the theatre.
Yes. Homemade bloody Aussie porn. No more imported shit from overseas. Keep it local. Keep your porn miles in your suburb.
We'll have Kate Blanchett on the Sydney Theatre Company. And over in the Sydney Porn Theatre Company, it will be Kate Blank. Not Chet.
Oh, very similar. He tried there, everybody.
I thought if I started, it would work.
Kate this Munchett, is... maybe. Mm. Oh, don't worry about
it. Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's all
Kate bad. Munchett was the joke I said.
This is Irrational Fear. Is the new Prime Minister for the Environment Nelly? Because it's getting hot in here. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Tom Ballard.
Yes, Tom. Woo! Thank you very much, Lewis. Hi, everybody. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, beautiful people of Brisbane. It is lovely to be here. Go Maroons.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. I don't give a fuck.
Excellent.
I'm pandering. Okay?
I can't believe you got a boo from it, too. This is going to be a tough day.
Who gave the boo down here? Was it you, Malcolm Turnbull? Was that you?
No.
This guy looks like Malcolm Turnbull in the front.
Why did you boo? Just for a bit of fun. Oh, yeah, it wasn't you at all. You were framed. All right, great. All right, there's a mutiny in the audience already. But look, it's lovely to be here, and it's lovely to be at this wonderful Climate Week event. And looking out at this theatre, you know, I just see the faces of hopeful, concerned citizens taking the time to come together to learn about how we can collectively take serious action to halt the existential threat that is the climate crisis. And I can't help but think, we're fucked. We are fucked. It's over. We've lost. Good night, everybody. Happy Climate Week. Don't be so pessimistic, Tom. Come on, have a bit of hope. Piss off, New Farm. You're not even real Queensland. You're a humid version of Melbourne. What would you know, you hippies? We're fucked. Admit it, you know it. We are all fucked, right? The pepperoni coal mine is going ahead. The Great Barrier Reef is dying. 1 million species face extinction. The latest report says human civilization will be coming to an end in 2050. And our country has just decided to re-elect a human man named ScoMo. We are fucked. ScoMo! ScoMo sounds like a disease that affects pirates, really, doesn't it? Yeah, I lost my leg to the ScoMo. That's our leader, and the leader of the opposition is Anthony Albanese, a man we've decided to call Albo. Australian politics is ScoMo versus Albo. Just a nation of cavemen. Me like ScoMo. Me like Albo. We're not even going
to
have...
Elbow to elbow.
We don't have elections anymore. It'll be ScoMo and Albo wrestling in a muddy billabong. And whoever emerges as the victor will become the fucking primo, mate. It's over. We're so backwards in this country, we can't even make fun of New Zealand anymore. Do you know how dark that is? They're going carbon neutral by 2050, man. Look at all this other progressive shit. Meanwhile, Australia's just next goal going, when you say six, it sounds like sex. Say fish. Say fish. Hey, New Zealand, say fish. Stop trying to help the planet. Just say fish. Say fish. Oh, if you don't do anything to help the environment, it's going to kill all the fush. Ah, you said it. That's the topic of my 45-minute speech tonight, everybody. We always knew deep inside we weren't really up to this challenge. There was no chance our society could do the work and make the sacrifices and take the collective action required to confront climate change. I knew that the moment I saw that McDonald's was an option on Uber Eats. You see what I'm saying? We're not going to transition to an entirely renewable economy by 2030. People can't be bothered leaving their house to go to a drive-through restaurant to get fast food. We're fucked. We can't do drive-through anymore. It has to be drive-to. Drive-to me. Even when we had drive-through, we couldn't be bothered using all the letters in the word through. We were just T-H-R-U. That'll do. We are months away from Uber-chew as a society, okay? Uber-chew is where you just lie on the couch and the exploited immigrant comes around and feeds the chicken nuggies into your mouth and moves your jaw for you, okay? Nom, 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 five stars. Uber Chew, it's coming. Then Uber Poo, you know it's on the way. What, I have to go to the toilet? What am I training for, to be a professional athlete? No, bring me the bowl, Muhammad. Let's go. Oh, yeah, you groan, Queensland. We're fucked. Oh, don't worry, Tom. Technology will save us. We'll invent the technology and that will fix everything. Now, I would believe that if every single scientist and person with technological expertise was working on the problem, okay? If all the boffins around the world were working 24/7 on eliminating carbon from the atmosphere, then sure, maybe humanity would have a shot. But that's not what's happening, is it? The scientists are working on some other shit. They're working on Uber Chew. And they're working on little Snapchat filters that make you look like a baby. They're working on making a live-action version of The Lion King. Remember how you watched The Lion King as a kid and you thought, nah, it's good, but not enough dimensions. I want my singing lions to be more realistic, please. Last year, a bunch of nerds spent hours and hours ensuring that the horses in the video game Red Dead Redemption 2 would have testicles that shrink in the cold. They spent time and energy on that. Meanwhile, in the real world, actual horses can't shrink their balls because the planet's too fucking hot! Hey, nerds, how about you stop writing codes to digital horsey balls and join us in the war against the sun? This isn't even comedy anymore, just real anger. My generation is screwed. Millennials, we're just screwed. We could even buy a house. Now the entire planet is dying. Fantastic. We're heading for a post-apocalyptic water world scenario. I'm not going to be able to afford a boat. 2050, the world's flooded. It's me and a bunch of other 60-year-olds living in a share dinghy. All you baby boomers will be dead by then, won't you? You've timed that very well, actually. Climate change kicks in, you go, okay, see you, bitch, bye. You go up to your negatively geared property in heaven. Meanwhile, I'm down here working 15-hour shifts for Uber Swim, trying to save up a deposit for a fucking kayak. Great to be here. What are you proposing then, Tom? What are you proposing? That we all just give up, going against the very essence of Climate Week? Is that what you're proposing here tonight? That we just give up, Tom? Yes. If something's really hard, you give up. I learned that from the Australian Labor Party, people. I learned that from the best.
Thanks for having us again.
Give up against the fight against climate change, and I say, let's just go for it. Let's just lean into it. Do you ever do that? Like, do you ever do something bad, and you think, well, I'm doing this bad thing, I may as well do something worse? Well, I'm drinking a caramel milkshake, I may as well smoke a cigarette, you know? They kind of cancel each other out. No, they don't. You're killing yourself faster. I say we should lean into it with climate change. Our political leaders don't want to do anything about it. That's what we've got to work with. The reef is fucked. That's gone. Our biggest natural tourist attraction dead. We need more ways to attract tourists. I say let's lean in and really destroy our environment so much people will come from all over the world to see just how much we fucked it. Man, have you been to Australia? That place is fucked up. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. They made a replica of Uluru out of burning tyres on top of the original Uluru. And you're encouraged to climb it. It's insane. They turned Tasmania into a coal mine. They're fracking the Great Barrier Reef, which doesn't even make sense. You're allowed to hunt koalas, man. Seriously.
All right, you're not going with that.
They know about the chlamydia.
Yeah.
If nothing else, friends, if we can't do that, If the politicians aren't going to do anything to combat climate change, I say please at least legalise drugs, okay? Legalise all drugs and give us that. It'll help, okay? Let us be as high as the sea levels, all right? Please. Please. Oh, the ice caps are melting. Nah, bro, fucking everything's melting, man. Thank you for listening. And remember, everybody, give up.
Tom Ballard.
Fuck, so, you're awesome, Tom.
What about you folks? Do you have any hope left, Hillary, after listening to Tom?
Look, I've got some great news for Tom, and that is under climate change, cannabis plants should grow really quickly and really big.
Yeah! Well, that's great news. Thanks,
what about cocaine, Hillary? How will that grow?
Will it grow any cheaper in Australia? Because at the moment it grows at about 300 a bag, I'm told, and that's too much.
300? 350 in Brisbane, and you better be organised.
I've heard that in Sydney they deliver, but anyway, this is turning into a different conversation.
Man, you're going to get rated so good.
Finally!
I feel like I've got an advantage because my titties will probably make me flood.
People listening to this, go to the website, check out the photos.
And at the end, somebody will be trying to say on there and going, there's no room. And somebody's like, well, there is room. That's a reference to the Titanic. Whatever. Yeah.
Would you rent space? On
I would.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Booba, booba. I should have just said booba. Damn it.
Do you think comedians have a place in the apocalypse, Mel?
What? Look, sure, we're very important if you check out our Twitter. Doing some pretty cutting-edge work there. I'm retweeting to over, 500-600 people a day, and they are reading that and they're lapping it up.
Tom, are you suited for the apocalypse?
Am I suited?
Yeah.
I think I'll be yelling like that constantly with a pan on my head, just banging that every now and again.
And you're like, I swear I'm a slut.
it's pretty close to my life now, to be honest. So I'll adapt just fine, thank you.
Well, when it comes to the climate apocalypse, there is no state more vulnerable than your state, Queensland. But there's no need to leave Queensland. I mean, you guys have so many wonderful events here, the Indy, the Commonwealth Games, Expo 88. I love that game. That was great. All the big hits. We've actually found a pitch video from the future for a big event that Queensland's going to be hosting in 2038.
Rational Fear.
Welcome to Brisbane, the capital of southern Queensland and bid city of the 2038 Nuclear Winter Games. Thanks to industrial growth at all costs, Queenslanders live life to the extreme, and there's nothing more extreme than our weather. But every cyclone has a silver lining. Last year, Brady, Denise, Franz, Ian, Jackie, Philippa, Gertrude, Tiffany, Melinda, Cheryl, Rochelle and Dave nearly made space for new stadiums and sporting facilities, and now we're ready for rebuilding again. With the southward spread of dengue fever, southeast Queensland now has the lowest rate of dengue fever in all of southeast Queensland. But don't worry, if you do catch it, some of the best-funded doctors in Australia are just over the border in New South Wales. Thanks to rising sea levels, in Brisbane, everyone shares waterfront views with some of the most ancient and deadly locals around. It's now even easier to take a boat to the Great Barrier Reef Memorial Oil Field. It's just been refurbished and moved into the habitable zone. Speaking of water, the water wars of 2025 are a thing of the past. We now have a roster. Clean water will be available to farmers Mondays and Tuesdays, coal seam gas miners Wednesdays and Thursdays, residents on Fridays, and theme parks on Saturdays, Sundays, and public holidays. But going wild can work up an appetite. Grab a bite to eat. Literally, just a bite. Queensland supermarkets now have round-the-clock military guard, ensuring the orderly distribution of rations. And thanks to the Queensland Government's banana buyback scheme, the cost of bananas is no longer bananas. You know what they say? Queensland, beautiful one day of the year.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steph Tisdale!
Hello! So I'm going to talk about the insect extinction, insects, as they're better known as the aliens of the jungle. I love a good insect. I think the thing is we don't give a shit, right? Like we get on board when it's polar bears because they're nice and fluffy and they're real cute and you can imagine hugging one, right? Or a penguin, you're like, oh my God, it can't walk. That's ableist, don't be a dick. But we care when it's cute little fluffy things, right? But insects going extinct, that's the real thing we should be giving a shit about. But they're creepy fuckers and I don't like looking at them. That's the problem, right? But I also think the problem might be that entomologists, people who study insects, are the fucking worst. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we've got dog people. Everyone likes dog person. We're a bit sceptical about, you know, cat people. I'm a bird person. People think I'm a real weirdo. But we all come together when it's entomologists, people who fucking study insects. Oh, I wouldn't swipe right on that shit, you know? Like, I'd be like, ooh, bugs, gross. And I think that's what we need to change. I think that's what needs to happen is that we need to make entomology sexy again. Oh, you study insects. Guys who study insects should be in sex. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Stop it. I will also say for people who might be confused, please don't confuse entomology with etymology. Honestly, it really bugs me beyond words when people mix them up. I actually stole that joke. My boyfriend gave me that joke. Also, he'll probably die first. He's a ginger, so he's gone. I'll just have his crispy little waif in the... Use it as a fan when it's hot. Anyway... That was on the fly, I'm sure you could tell. Speaking of flies, honestly, it's a really, really, really fucked situation at the moment. We're hitting our sixth extinction in the world, right? So at the moment, 40% of all insect species are declining very rapidly, with one third having become endangered in the last 30 years. That is fucked, right? We have a real issue with biodiversity. And this is due to both the climate, which is wiping a lot of insects out, but also the way that we go about food production. So what they're finding now is, right, this really sucks. So pesticides and stuff like that, they make these non-lethal pesticides that are supposed to not do anything to bees. And they don't kill the bees, that is fair, but they do actually lower their heart rates and impact the way that their brains work so they can no longer create paths to get pollen and pollinate flowers at long distances. That stuff's scary. I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm just fucking scared. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I think. I think it all comes down to how we got to rebrand how we see entomologists. I don't want to see fucking cute cat videos on YouTube anymore. Show me that little spider I was talking about that was trending on Facebook. Did anybody see that spider? Okay, like three people know what I'm talking about. Really glad I opened the show with a reference to that fucking spider. Just staying relevant. Maybe we need to do that though. Maybe we need to look at how cute insects are. Like butterflies, everyone likes a butterfly. Fuck them. They're like the cool kids of school. We need to give a shit about dung beetles. Right. Thank you. Oh my God. Look, dung beetle's biggest fan in the front here. we need to give a shit about dung beetles like cockroaches they clean up, right? Spiders eat mosquitoes. We got to stop fucking spraying them. You know what I mean? This is all the stuff we got to do. The insect extinction, it scares the shit out of me. And so what I want you to do today is fucking entomologist. Thank you. Thank you. Just before I sit down, are there any entomologists in the room?
Actually?
Is there actually one?
Where?
Yes!
Where? Come on down! Come down here! Come down!
The rest of the show is an orgy!
is there two? Oh, just one. Okay, right.
Oh, my God. What's your favourite insect? Oh, lame. No, I'm sorry, I'm joking. But I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, this is the problem. Ants are pretty... All right. What's your second favourite one? Yeah, praying mantis are cool. They are cool. All right, we'll just bond over praying mantis. And what was your name? Sadie. Sadie's getting lady later. Thank you. All right, thank you.
Steph Tisdale. Excellent. For you folks, would any of you swipe right on an entomologist?
Robert? Tom, as the resident slut. I mean, I'm largely homosexual, but yeah, I'll fuck you, Sadie. We can talk about ants, you freak. Are the praying mantis the ones that eat, like they fuck you and then they eat you?
Yeah.
You creepy lady! Don't you dare eat me!
Unless it's the other head.
Hey, it's a family show.
It's not a family show.
It's not a family show. Fuck it, let's get weird.
But there are words, even though this isn't a family show, there are words we can't say. Would spiders be less creepy if they only had four arms?
As in these arms?
It's the hair that puts me off, I think. If they were...
You only like bald spiders.
Yes. Yes.
It's like spiders like advanced hair. No.
You'd be swiping right on the bald spiders.
I have to answer yes, I would date a spider, Hillary, yes. In this day and age, if that's what you identify as, I do not want to be an arachnophobic. Another Queensland bigot who says, no, I don't want my son married to fuck a spider.
Mom, Dad, this is Incy Wincy. And we're in love.
He can bugger off up his spout. This is Irrational Fear with more people in this audience and ongoing jobs for a certain mine in the Galilee Basin. Irrational Fear. Mel Buttle, everyone.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have this.
You want a hand?
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. No, Tom's a big strong boy. A dainty strong boy. Thank you, Thomas. Thanks.
Such strong man.
Well, Steph gave you a lot of statistics. Here's one. 71% of all teams who win game one in Origin go on to claim the series, so...
Stop stealing my stuff, Mel.
First of all, good evening, upwardly mobile lefties. And the Gorman looks amazing. And hope you all got a good park for the Prius. So, now, people assume, because I'm a Queenslander, that I don't understand climate change. And most of the time, yeah, they're pretty spot on. But look, it's something that we can actually fix. Tom, you're wrong, okay? And we can fix it through designer keep cups and vegan brunches. from my research professor. Now, when it comes to climate change, though, the biggest victims will not be some rare bilby in Adelaide, but it will be foodies, and it's going to hit hard, guys, yeah. It's fucking coming. It's coming for Newfarm. It's coming for Tenerife. It's coming for Newstead. It's not coming for Newmarket. They'll be all right out there. It is coming for us hard-working, blogging, gramming, waiter-irritating foodies, okay? So you try and write a memorable blog about Malay chicken in 56-degree heat. Go for it. Have a go. You can't do it, can you? Oh, okay, Mel. Yeah, foodies aren't the only ones who write blogs, are they? Oh, yeah, I've never read one, so... If you find a blog on the internet that is not about rooting or food, it is a Russian scam trying to overthrow the government. So, look, I hate to get all political. No, I love it, it's fun. Now, the sea levels are going to rise, right? And that will mean a lot less al fresco dining, unfortunately. So that's brutal, isn't it? Yeah. Campbell Newman. Anyway, Noosa, our beloved Noosa,
Everyone here who's on 80k a year will know of Noosa, won't you? You understand how Noosa works. Noosa will be nothing more than just a swamp. Noosa will be swamp-like. It will resemble Redcliffe. So you can say goodbye to your food and wine festival up there. Nope, you might as well burn your fedora and your dress chinos. And say goodbye to your little polo shirt with the sea boats on it. We won't be needing that in the future. But us foodies, we can help. We can turn climate change around. We can just stop eating Wagyu rump caps. That's part of it, apparently. I read that. Now, I don't want to give up charcuterie, but, like, a lot of it is made from pork, so maybe if we all disagree, like, I don't know, like maybe only like 10 steaks a year we could save the planet. I don't look, it makes me feel uncomfortable. Let's not do it. Okay. But will this life even be worth living if we are forced into lentil-based diets? Tom knows it's not, okay? Red meat is the enemy because cows' farts are ruining the world, okay? I read that. That's my level of research that I've done for tonight. So the Breakfast Creek Hotel needs to be protested, right? Need to take it to the streets. But because there's nothing rugby dum-dums love more than red meat. Similar to Steph, I do implore you, if you root anyone who plays rugby and they eat steaks on a regular basis, you are going to need to withhold sex until they get onto lentils. Bushfires are coming. You can say goodbye to the Hunter Valley, to the wine region. It'll be on fire. Yep, goodbye. There'll be no more Pinot Noir. No matter how good you can make a beautiful Pinot, that won't make it for the flames of your log cabin going down at the winery, will it? No. Just the word artisanal mean nothing to you people. We must act now, okay? So when all hell breaks loose and you're all living in your bunkers out at Brookfield, it's nice, isn't it? Just past Indooroopilly, you love it. And it's not that far to the city. Because I go after I've dropped Harry at Kinder at 9:30 and I'm in half an hour. In shocking news, I don't think all allergies are going to be catered for in the bunker. It's going to be pretty horrible in that bunker. When the apocalypse comes, there's going to be hives, there's going to be upset tummies, there's some pretty serious stuff, okay? Hope you've all done your FODMAPs on tin beans, because that's all there's going to be.
Oh, I'm sorry that we're going to be in this bunker for the next 80 years, but I actually can't have lentils because they give me a little tummy.
Eat her first, get her gone. It is going to be absolutely dire out there. We might have to end up carrying a Pottery Barn jug down to the local soy milk well. I know, okay? People of Ascot and other rich people who live in West End for some reason, I don't know why, I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense, but I don't get it. But I implore you, Richies, to maybe think about buying a Tesla for Harriet's graduation car. Sell the Range Rover. I know it's going to hurt. It is going to cut deep, but we have to pull together. And don't worry, you can still fit a case of McLaren Valley Red in the boot of a Tesla. I mean, wake up, though. Have a think about it. Wine. You can say goodbye to all cold climate grapes. Yeah. That's going to hurt, isn't it? No more Rieslings. No more Sauv Blancs. It's all going to be Spanish Reds. Tempranillo does not go with everything, okay? On the matter of temperature, when it's hot, kids are absolute assholes, okay? So imagine the cafes of Graceville and Tenerife just teeming with toddlers when it's 56 degrees, screaming and crying into their beetroot hummus. Don't be stupid, but kill them all on day one. Get rid of them all. Anyway, anyone called Atticus with a milk allergy? Bang, 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 bang. See you later. You weren't going to make it anyway. So the sea temperature is going to get very hot. The waters are going to heat right up because the ice It's get like in when you know you get like a like you get a rum and coke and the ice melts, right? And then it's like that. All right, that's how I'm explaining it to you, Queensland. So so with hot water in the sea, there's not going to be any more sushi. The fish will be coming out already cooked. They'll be done. Just go down to the shore with a big basket of chips and just get yourself ready for Friday night. Bye-bye, ceviche. Bye-bye, salmon nigiri. Imagine a sushi restaurant. Try and picture this. Try and picture this, New Farm. A sushi restaurant, right, with no raw fish, okay? None. There's seawater lapping around your ankles, but to be fair, you can get the same experience at Sushi Train Wynnum. But, so what can I do to help? I'm just a foodie wanker with a Volkswagen Golf and a moleskin notepad. There's things that you guys can do. You can go vegan. Mel, are you vegan? No, don't be stupid. But you can. Something you can do. I'll catch up later. Like, you go ahead and let me know how it all is. Yeah, I'm coconut milk, my favourite. But, like, you could do it, like, actually do it for real. Like, I kind of do it, but I, like, cheat a little bit. I'm on chicken stock, no one's going to know. But, you know, I'm like, yeah, it's vegan, apart from the Parmesan cheese, but the cows that made the cheese are vegans. Chain of vegans helping each other out is what that is. Imagine my inbox after this when I get home. Hey, Mel, I just want to let you know I'm a vegan and okay. If you're emailing me, who's running the drum circle in Byron? But anyway, Now, the sad fact of this whole thing is climate deniers, they are out there, they exist, they might, well, they're not here because you had to pay to get in, but it is a weeknight, so they're at Hoggies. Good old Hog's Breath, I think they do a 2-for-1. So, no, they're busy calling into AM radio, so... But they exist and we need to bully them into getting a keep cup, okay? And then bully them for picking a dumb keep cup, all right? Anyway, there's things you can do. You can, and I'm doing it already. You can hang around farmers markets. That helps somehow, apparently. Just go there and be like, oh, it's better than Carl's. It's heaps yummier. Yum, yum. food miles, artisanal produce, say it all the time. People will be like, yeah, she knows. But I'll finish on this. I mean, like, we're all doing our best, but how much coconut oil do I need to smear on myself, Professor? Well, you can come to this. Before this is taken seriously. Yes, I have a jar in the bathroom and it makes the bath very slippery. But I'm doing my bit. I lather myself in this overpriced fucking coconut bullshit 5 days a week, then I forget, oh, fucking hell. Anyway, I'm not sure how it helps, but it's definitely, it's part of it. It's sort of Marbo, it's the vibe, it's kind of the whole sort of in there. And actually, you know what I do to help out as well? I use the same jar in the bathroom that I smear on myself in the kitchen in my stir fries. So you certainly must pop by. See ya.
Irrational fear.
So funny.
Fantastic. That's great. Thank you, Mel Buttle.
Thank you.
Now, with foodies gone, what other narcissistic activities can be done, do you think? What will there be left for the apocalypse, do you think, Mel?
Can you still do F45?
F45 for the apocalypse?
Yep.
I think your great idea of homegrown porn.
Still, babies will still exist. You can still put those on and be like, here's my little bear, love him.
And also they'll die young, so you can have more.
That's right.
Because of the heat.
Yeah. A lot of them won't last.
Yeah.
Any eczema babies, see you later, you're gone. No.
Hello, is anything on? Tough crowd.
You know, like the dead baby stuff, it normally kills.
New Zealand actually are kind of ahead of the curve. Their two major supermarkets are called Countdown and New World. They're ready for the apocalypse already.
Oh, Woolworths is Countdown, isn't it, over there? Yes. Yeah. Oh, mental. How? Oh, what they do.
Oh, they do things differently over there.
How weird. They let a woman be in charge. Oh, good luck.
Say fish. Say fish.
Now, after the election, I don't know if you caught Alan Jones the first week after the election. He was on Q&A just spending about 45 minutes gloating. Did anybody see that? And then he went on to explain how many parts per million there was of carbon in the atmosphere. Anyway, he went on his radio program straight after that and just continued gloating. And here it is here.
I tell you what, Alan, I wouldn't be caught dead in an electric car because they don't go brum, brum. What good is a car that doesn't go brum, brum? You just can't trust it.
You're right there, Mildred. Hang on the line, we'll send you a freshly slaughtered ham.
2GB 873.
Well, how about this, eh? What an election. This Sunday, Australia woke up to themselves. Yes, they've said, I've had enough of Labor, I've had enough of Bill Shorten. They had it too good for too long. And Labor and Bill Shorten weren't even in government. By the looks of their smarmy faces, you'd think they were. Now, let's not mince words here. The right people won because the right people won. And it's all right to be right. All right. Now, this was meant to be the climate election. Oh, can you believe that? Climate change. Oh, God. The only thing that Labor will be changing is their underwear after they polluted in their pants. Now, these climate terrorists are like keep cups that have been overfilled. They're about to explode. Oh, they're terrible. These are some have been lefties. You know they know full well that windmills, yes, windmills, were invented in Iran. Yes, Iran. Oh, so what if it was ancient Persia? A Middle Eastern windmill is a Middle Eastern windmill. You can't trust them. The blades will spin around and chop your head right off. Oh, it's happened. I've seen the footage. On Q&A on Monday night, I asked Alice Workman, who is a young woman, mind you, what percentage of carbon dioxide is in the atmosphere. And she, a political journalist and a woman, couldn't answer me this very simple question. The answer is 0.04%. Now, the fact that it was 0.03% when I was coaching the Wallabies in the 80s is beside the point. The point is that these numbers are about as big as Bill Shorten is feeling right now, very small. And Australia is responsible for 1% of 0.04%. What can be done about it? It's pointless. Now, you may say, oh, but Alan, Australia has 700 radio stations and you're only on one and you're a toxic force in Australian politics. You could just leave and everything would get better. And to that, I say, thank you. I am powerful because of the Alan Jones signature multivitamin, Jonesyvite. With everything you need to stay alive when you're in the fight of your political life, that's the Alan Jones signature multivitamin, Jonesyvite. And let me tell you something. I, for one, am very thankful that the coalition won the election. After all, I declared I would retire if they didn't. But you know me, I'm not the retiring type. I'm 78. I don't plan on retiring anytime soon. Bob Hawke didn't retire until he was 89. Oh, God, I've got some time ahead of me. Speaking of climate change, up next, something that really gets my globals warming. Anthony Kalia, live in studio. Oh, what a voice.
You're listening to the Alan Jones
Alan
Breakfast
Jones.
Show right across Australia.
All right. Now, look, before we end the show...
I'm sorry, but Steph thought that was real.
Yeah.
I was going, is this a fucking joke? But it was.
Yeah.
It's good.
Is this a fucking joke?
This is fucking boring. No, it made more sense. Yeah.
It's me. I do it.
It's a good Alan Jones.
Thank you very much.
No, it was really good.
I just stay for the Anthony Kalia joke. Yeah. Stay everywhere.
I always like what it would be like if John Michael Housen was on Alan Jones's show.
No one knows who John Michael
Housen is. No one under 40 knows who John Michael Housen is. All right.
Like
now,
sounds.
Before we wrap up the show, we've still got a little bit to go. Before Lewis brings us home and gives us hope for the future and solves climate change in 5 minutes.
It's weird that I've always known how and I haven't mentioned it until this very minute. It's actually a bit of a dick move, but lucky for you.
We've got an expert here. We thought we'd discuss some of the health implications for humans on a warming planet. Now, if you drew like a Venn diagram between climate and disease, in the middle would sit Hilary Banbrick.
And that's her Tinder bio.
Which way are you going to swipe?
We know, right?
Well, if you had entomologists, we'd know. So tell us, how does it feel to be in the middle of that Venn diagram?
Yeah, look, it's very quiet because everybody is dead. Mamma mia.
I guess you're right. Yeah, wow, gosh.
Good luck following that, mate.
This is the saddest topic of them all. We're trying to deal with it in a mature way, everyone. Well done. You're doing very well being here. Now, tell us, like, with the health of the planet is a given. We kind of talk about planetary health all the time when it comes to climate change, but we don't really talk about, like, how it affects human health, particularly when we're talking about climate change. We're always focused on emissions and oxygen and stuff like that. But, like, what are some of the most unusual challenges that humans will face heading into a warmer planet?
So this is the time where the show gets serious, so my apologies. But when climate change or the climate crisis won't actually create any new diseases, what it might do and what it actually has done already is it might revive long dead ones. So a few years ago...
Zombie diseases.
So a few years ago in the Arctic, 2,300 reindeer died from anthrax and dozens of people were hospitalised and a child died. And now this disease hadn't been around for a very long time. And the reason why it re-emerged is because there were what had been frozen ground started to defrost in temperatures that were way above average. And basically rotting reindeer corpses leached into the water supply and those were contaminated with anthrax spores. And so people got sick and
Rudolph the anthrax reindeer.
Had a very white nose. I only remember anthrax because, like, in September 11, post-September 11 world, like, members of Congress were getting anthrax-infected envelopes. So that's my only reference for it. Like, what is it? What is anthrax?
You don't need to lick an envelope these days. You can just go lick a reindeer. So.
Right.
Salmon, that's my Saturday.
So it's bacterial spores and they get released. So they can lie dormant. You know how you put stuff in your freezer? Mel's got a whole lot of meat sitting in hers, obviously.
Yeah.
Yep. So that preserves it. And a similar thing happens with bacteria and with other pathogens as well. So you put them in the freezer, they don't often die. They might just sort of lie there dormant for a while, have a little bit of a nap. But you start warming the planet and they, become zombie.
When you get home tonight, check your frozen reindeer.
Good takeaway message, Tom.
What other diseases would be lying under the tundra in previously frozen places?
Yeah, well, there's some thought that, you know, we managed to eradicate smallpox many decades ago, but, potentially it's not just reindeer corpses that might be rotting. You've got human corpses that might be rotting as well.
Terrifying. Mm.
Everyone's going to sleep really well tonight.
Dodo AIDS could be coming back.
But what's
have you seen? Have you seen Bohemian Rhapsody? It is so sad when he gets Dodo AIDS. It's the worst of that.
What's going to be really annoying is celebrity campaigns about Dodo AIDS. Every minute of every day.
Wear the beak, guys. Wear the beak.
Oh, guys, you've got to laugh. Wear the beak.
Everyone shut up. Let the scientists keep talking, please.
I mean, it's so strange. These are things that Dodo AIDS is very strange. I've never heard of that before. Learning something all the time. But what about when there's a larger, huger weather events, like big, more excessive weather events? What other kind of strange health implications does that have?
So you get the immediate impacts from that weather event. You know, if it's a cyclone, storm, bushfire, flood, you know, people die, people get injured. That's usually, you know, it's pretty tragic, but it's not the only thing that happens. You also get these longer term impacts as well. Well, they happen all the time now, you know, everyday event. Got to get used to it. So it's also the longer term impact. So if you've got flooding, for example, you've got contaminated water supplies, you've got breeding grounds for mosquitoes, so you'll get, more mosquito-borne diseases like dengue, for example.
How prepared are we for this kind of stuff? Like,
how much Demazin will I need?
So
So we know that our health systems aren't as prepared as they could be. We had a taste of that a few years ago in Melbourne when we had the thunderstorm asthma epidemic. So the health systems then got completely overwhelmed. Now, we've known about thunderstorm asthma for a number of years, but there's never been an event like that. And what happened then, you had 2,000 people required ambulance attendance.
So what's thunderstorm
asthma? Yeah, so just, explain to people what happened in Melbourne. So it was a huge thunderstorm.
Yeah, and it had happened after a particularly warm spring, and, you know, there's lots of pollen in the air. So when you get a thunderstorm, it breaks open little pollen granules and they get down further into your lungs. And so what happened in Melbourne was there was a lot of pollen in the air, big storm, people died, is the simple causal chain. But you had...
Are we excited about climate change yet?
Yeah. So 2,000 people needed ambulances. Eight and a half thousand people went to hospital, and 9 people died. And many of those people had never experienced asthma
before. And that's before Dodo AIDS came back.
So,
weather in Australia has always been pretty extreme. I read a scientific paper the other day, and I'll read a bit of it to you. It's from 1D McKellar. I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. You can't refute that.
Well, it's what she loves.
She wrote that ages ago.
Yeah, and look, Tony Abbott agreed too in 2013 with the bushfires in the Blue Mountains. He said, "We've always had bushfires." And I said, "Yeah, but not in October." And last year, Queensland in August, so middle of winter, 1,000 bushfires burning. Now, this is completely unprecedented. So, yeah, the weather has always been a bit fucked, and we're pretty proud of that in this country. We like that our weather's like that. But those patterns are shifting. So it's now, you know, fucked in different times of the year, in different ways. Yeah. And it's
snow in Queensland this week.
Snowed in Queensland this week.
Hopefully after tonight, entomologists will also be fucked in different places. There you go, Sadie, I'm doing good work.
Sadie, I've been tested for dodo AIDS and I'm clean. I'm all clean. Negative, all right?
No anthrax on Tom.
Hillary, can you leave us with any kind of hope for the future? Is there anything...
Hillary, can you make up some hope, please?
I brought
Hillary,
a friend.
Hillary, can you tell this audience some lies?
Look, some kind of hope. You know, if we're talking about jobs from the Aria coal mine and, you know, how uncertain that is, what we do know is that jobs from the Great Barrier Reef are much more certain. So there are so many more jobs with the Great Barrier Reef and so many more jobs in tourism and so many more jobs if we actually have a planet that is functional and that people are alive on. So
I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
So we have choices about the kinds of jobs we want to create.
Although, if climate change happens and you're a doctor, sounds like you're set. You get a whole lot of business.
You mentioned coal before. This is a portrait that someone drew of themselves. Can you tell us the story behind this one?
Sure. So I used to live in the Illawarra, down Wollongong way. Yeah, anyone from Wollongong? Thanks, Mum. Yep. I lived about 100 metres from the train tracks, and those tracks would carry uncovered coal trucks every day. And they'd often sit up at the train station, and my house would get covered in coal dust, as would everyone else's houses. So my daughter drew this picture using the coal dust that was covering our house. So it's a self-portrait for those of you playing along at home.
And isn't it beautiful? Yeah.
it's just a bit of a wake-up call, because, you know... This is it's a point about coal mining that I actually just really want to get across, that if we actually stopped coal mining today, the air would be cleaner today. It's not like we're taking a gamble on whether or not it might actually make things better. You wouldn't get black lung disease. So there's, you know, the 21 miners in Queensland who've been diagnosed with black lung disease, that wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have the 3,000 people die each year in Australia from air pollution. You wouldn't have 42 million kilograms of coal dust cover the Hunter Valley every year.
That sounds like so much coal dust.
And then you also wouldn't get fires such as the one at the Hazelwood Mine, a few years ago that killed a number of people as well and will have long-term implications. So it's not just climate change as being an issue with coal and coal mining. It's every single step from the mining, the transport and the burning of coal that actually kills people.
Can I ask you a question, like a serious question? It's like, why hasn't the rhetoric about climate, the climate crisis being changed? Like, surely, because people still oppose it or deny it, why aren't we changing the way that we're talking about it to be like, cool, regardless of whether you believe in it or not, how about
it'll still kill you whether you believe in
it
or not.
Yeah, but even beyond that, right, like even if you just said, hey, look, regardless of whether you reckon it's real or not, there is no harm in saving the world and making the world a better place. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's such an odd...
You'd say 4 million lives a year.
I just don't understand. Sorry, I'm very...
Look,
I've really had a moment.
I'll give you my dad's phone number.
Do you want to actually... Sorry, can I go off on a tangent, tell a really weird story?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so my dad is, like, the biggest weirdo in the world. Like, just to give you an idea, yesterday he sent me a text in the middle of the day that said, do you reckon the Queen has ever been on official business with a turtle head poking out? Which is a poo that's about to come out.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, hello, Dad.
Happy birthday.
But this is a true story. And I like, so he was a climate crisis denier. And he always listens to the ABC. And then he listened to one of his favourite people say, it's real. And he was like, oh, fuck. And then he went and...
Jemima, you really think that? That's fucking huge.
That's pretty much what he's like, eh? And this was his response to it. And I suppose you're going to also have solutions. But what do you think of his solution? He went to Bunnings and he bought two giant sandwich boards this tall and painted the words on both sides, global warming... act now, and put them out the front of my fucking driveway. And then some drunk kids on the weekend. Sorry, this is just the ending to the story. It's got nothing to do with the rest. It's just ridiculous. Some drunk teenagers started breaking his signs in the middle of the night, and he woke up and he was going to go and be like, get off there. But then he just didn't have enough energy, so he just stood under our street lamp with a machete, and I should say he was nowhere near them, just cast a shadow, and they fucking bolted. That is
great.
Mark Tisdell.
Next climate talks, we're going to send your dad with a machete.
That is Mark Tisdell's action for climate change. Okay. But, like, seriously, do you think it's one of those things that, like, is this something that we just go, actually, you know what, fuck it. Politicians aren't listening. The government doesn't give a fuck. This is just make it totally way more individual, or?
You've got to start somewhere. And I think, obviously we've got an absolute lack of national action when it comes to climate change, despite the rhetoric that we keep hearing. Australia's climate emissions have been increasing by 1 or 2% for years, you know, last year.
Today, we got to record levels. Yes! Well done, everyone! We did it!
So don't believe it when they tell you that that we're on track to meet the pissy Paris targets, because, you know, poor as they are. So
this is what my pet peeve with ScoMo when he ever talks climate change. He's always talking about meeting the Kyoto targets, which were set in 1997, as if that's some sort of fucking achievement, and as if there hasn't been 15 more fucking conferences since then. I'm okay.
So to be frank, Australia's target of 26-28% below 2005 levels is not at all adequate. 2005 levels were almost record levels anyway. So to actually get adequate sort of reductions in greenhouse gas emissions, we need to be aiming for 45-65% by 2030 and zero net emissions by 2050. So that's the bottom line.
All right. Everyone, please thank Hillary.
I might.
This is Irrational Fear with more laughs than Labor seats in Queensland. Ladies and gentlemen, Lewis Hubbard. You.
Irrational Fear.
Damn, son.
Hello, Queensland. What a barrel of laughs it's been. Okay, at the end of this, at the end of my thing, I'm going to ask you to do something, and I'm going to get you to agree to it now. Because in between now and then, you're not going to like me. So can I get you all saying, yes, Lewis, on three. One, two, three, will you do this for me?
Yes, Lewis.
All right, okay. I'm really glad that we are doing Irrational Fear
here in this part of the country tonight. After the election we just had, I think it's important that we're here in Queensland, where it all went wrong. Despite all the predictions, not a single Liberal national politician lost their seat. And the seats near the mine had swings of up to 15% away from the party that wanted to address climate change. It was the climate change election. I don't know if you heard about that. Did you get the memo? Did you hear it was the climate change election? It certainly wasn't the government change election, thanks to you. Queensland, you're just a humid middle finger to the rest of the country, aren't you? You're our Florida, filled with crocodiles and unironic Hawaiian shirts. It's hard to imagine a better display of how little you care about climate change than having Climate Week now. You know what would be a great time to finally get stories about climate change out into the Brisbane press? Let's do it the day after State of Origin! Fuck! I'm gonna try really hard not to be angry at you, Queensland. I'm gonna do my best. Because I understand why you didn't vote for climate action, you know? Who among us hasn't decided that 1,400 jobs in a coal mine were more important than the future of the human race? We've all been there. I get it. Jobs are important. You need jobs. Everyone needs jobs. We need jobs, you know? If we didn't need jobs, we wouldn't be here in fucking Queensland. We don't need to come here from Climate Week. We already come from a place that knows that climate change is important. It's called 2019. You should visit. No, I'm kidding. Queensland's great. Beautiful one day, fucking us for the rest of eternity. Can I ask you? Is it annoying?
No.
Thank you, Daniel. He hugged me. Is it annoying to have a real smug like me from the south come up and tell you that you fucked it for everyone? It is. It is. I know that. Because that's one of the reasons you fucked us in the first place. After the election, Queenslanders said they didn't like Southerners like Bob Brown coming up and telling them how to live their lives. Right after the election, when all the journalists were trying to figure out what the fuck happened here, one opinion piece summed it up perfectly for all of you people. If there's one thing Queenslanders don't like, it said, it's being told what to do. New South Wales, now there's a state that likes being told what to do. They re-elected a government with a mandated bedtime. But you, no siree! Have you ever tried telling a Queensland rugby league player to stop having group sex? Good luck! Now, in Bob Brown's defence, he was probably fine with the group sex. It was the mine he wasn't into. Queensland. Fuck. You don't like being told what to do. You're cool like that, aren't you? You're cool. Very cool. You don't like being told what to do. Even when it's right, you're cool, you know? It's like, nah. No, fuck. You're not Australia's fucking Florida. You're Australia's moody teenager. Wanking into the sock of our future. People hated you so much after the election that they demanded your entire state be annexed from the rest of Australia. People wanted Quexit. Now, not me. I didn't want Quexit. It sounds like a laxative. And even though you did shit the bed, I still believe in you, Queensland. I understand why you did what you did. You said with your votes what really we've all been thinking. People who care about the environment, kind of a drag. They're kind of a drag. You know? Like, ugh. You know? Like, ugh. Ugh. Like, ugh. You know? They're just like, they're the people who hand their homework in early. You know? Like, ugh. The people who, like, they visit their grandma. Ugh. You know? And they enjoy it. Ugh. You know, they're the people who say things like, that knife's sharp, be careful. Fuck off, Charlene! I'll cut my finger off if I want to. Back off! I don't like being told what to do. They're annoying, you know? I find them annoying. That's what I'm saying. They're nagging at you. We're close to the tipping point. Back off. Let me dig my coal hole. In your defence, Queensland, it's not just you that's burying their head in the coal pit on this issue. Ignoring the impending climate crisis is the hottest trend around the world, and I mean hottest. Listen to all of the very cool places that do not want to reduce carbon emissions, apart from you, Queensland. Russia, Kazakhstan, China, Saudi Arabia, and Iran. Anyone see a common thread between any of those countries? They don't like being told what to do. They're very cool. They're like you. They also don't like people, which is fun. But I also think that's an important thing to focus on because somewhere along the line, climate change became unfortunately mixed up with the political parties that have a degree of empathy. People who want to fix climate change, they're do-gooders, aren't they? In the old days, do-gooders meant churchgoers, but Catholics have done a lot of things and none of them good. So now when people think of namby-pamby do-gooders, they think of the people who care about the environment. And no one wants to be a do-gooder. No, they're the annoying thing. So here's my plan. I'm going to start a new kind of political party that will trick you, Queensland, into voting for climate change. A party that will not care about anyone of any kind. I promise you that. It will be so selfish. My party will be more capitalist than the Liberals, more racist than One Nation. It'll fuck more staffers than the Nationals. I will be a less likable leader than Bill Shorten. And then, you know how my racist bunch of fuckboys are going to outwit you? You bunch of moody teenagers slamming your door in the face of the climate catastrophe. We'll use the only method really available to deal with teens who don't like being told what to do. Reverse psychology. I'll organise everyone Queenslanders hate. Bob Brown, the New South Wales Origin side, daylight savings. And I'm going to get all of them to tell you what to do. Don't vote for climate action. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't vote for the climate. Look at me. I'm a smug from the South. Look at my statement glasses. I'm telling you not to do it. Look, let's be honest. You're at Climate Week. Either you got lost on the way home from Origin last night and you're still pissed, or you're already a do-gooding namby-pamby who cares about the future of our planet. You're a traitor to your state. The rest of Queensland hates you. Which means they don't want you telling them what to do either. So join me now in telling them what to do. On three, don't vote for the climate. One, two, three.
Don't vote for the climate.
And again.
Don't vote for the climate.
Keep it going.
Don't vote for the climate.
Don't vote for the climate. It's working, Queensland. It's working. I can feel their hatred for us building. I can feel their rebellion bubbling up. I can feel them telling us to go fuck ourselves and then accidentally saving the planet. It's working. I'll see you back here next election, Queensland. We did it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lewis. I actually went to South Bank earlier today and I met some Queenslanders who they have a message for you. You might be surprised. You probably didn't meet these Queenslanders, but they've got a special message for you.
Dear parts of Australia that aren't Queensland,
we're sorry about the election.
It's just that.
Clive's billboards were yellow.
Yellow is very eye-catching.
Like a banana.
And Queenslanders love bananas.
We know the mine will add to the climate crisis.
Just think of all the job it will create.
LNP
protesters deserve lucrative board positions too.
And we're sorry for backing bigoted climate deniers.
Like Malcolm Roberts.
Even though all the empirical evidence
points to him being an empirical dickhead.
It's just that if we admit that climate change is happening, it will be catastrophic.
For Queensland property prices.
We need to sell our homes for as high a price as possible.
So we can afford to live someplace cooler.
Like Canberra.
Sorry, I didn't mean cooler, I just meant someplace colder.
So on behalf of Queensland, sorry not sorry.
To wrap up this special edition of Climate Week, please, big round of applause for Bridie and Wyatt.
What an educational experience that was, Lewis.
We have written a song.
You guys are like, hey, do some doom and gloom. We're like, oh, fun.
Let's have a quick refresher. Here are some of the words that you gave us to write a song about. Coal, the reef, Pakistani, Afghani, banani, climate refugees, coal again, dengue fever, grandkids, that was from Tracy, and Bieber fever. Thank you. So not the cheeriest list, but you know what? We defy you. We reckon in the year 2050, even if the climate has all gone to hell, humankind will still have hope.
That's right.
And will still have love. So there.
So this is a love song set in the year 2050.
Oh, what a time.
Everything will be great. One day I met a girl with a normal number of hands. She smiled at me and said her name was Liza.
One day I met a boy down by the lake, you know, the one, the lake that used to be Mount Isa.
I asked her on a date and we went to a swim-up movie. This girl's so great, I just can't leave her.
I liked the man, but not the film. It was kind of weird about a climate refugee with dengue fever.
Refugee 7. They jumped the shark. Oh.
What's a shark?
They're all dead. I look at her and something's blooming. Not just the algae in the water.
I looked at him and sparks are flying. By the way, I am Tracy's granddaughter.
And
if I'm gonna be going extinct, I wanna go extinct with you. You and me were inextricably linked. I wanna go extinct with you. I didn't mention my fella's name before. It's important. You see, his name is Barney.
I'm an Afghani.
He was a bit crude sometimes. Every coal's a goal.
You know what I'm talking about. Banani.
If I'm gonna be going extinct, I wanna go extinct with you.
Our lives are gonna be succinct.
I wanna go extinct with you. The years went by, all one of them. Our love, it was so brief. We had our anniversary down by the normal barrier reef.
But all our year were cut short. I'm no longer a believer because my love came down with a bad case of Bieber fever. If I'm
baby,
gonna
baby,
be
baby,
going extinct,
oh,
I wanna
baby,
go extinct.
Baby, 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 oh, you should go and love yourself.
I wanna go
baby, 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 oh, baby, 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 oh, is it too late now to say sorry?
Yes. Thank you very much. The staff here at Brisbane Powerhouse, the creation, Queensland Government, Songwoman Marucci, Rob Howie, my name's Dan Illick. This has been Irrational Fear. Until next time, there's always something to be scared of. Good night!
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable.
That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.